It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You might be a bit surprised. Normally, this is when News of the Weird starts, but sometimes life happens. John had somewhere he needed to be. It was planned. And because our show, or the previous show, goes long all the time, just could not do News of the Weird. He has to be someplace. So that's why we're starting still late, but earlier than we would have. Of course,
every other show in radio, 5 minutes after, is late.
Is late. But for us, we're actually a little upset that we gotta start earlier than
like
normal.
An extra 5 minutes of
not doing anything but just talking. But I will say this, as much as things may change, they stay the same. Lance left his keys here. I ain't got time to go down the hall, so we will see if he notices. Maybe they stay in here for 2 hours. We will see. This is the punishment for being a dirty macker. I'll let him search for his keys for the entirety of this show if he doesn't figure it out. We will see. I just want him scrambling around in the hallway, patting his pockets, because that's always the move. Like, you know your keys aren't in your pocket, but you'll hit him a couple times like you forgot or you missed out or maybe you didn't notice.
All right, like, oh, maybe I put it in a pocket I've never put it in before in my life.
Let's see. You start opening parts of your pants that you didn't even know existed, hoping that the key will be there. So
that
we'll see.
That little part that only puts in like a coin, you know, that can only fit up. Maybe they're in there.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a high level of anxiety for him. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see. All right. As far as what we'll get to today, of course, we'll do the misery index. I may just leave a space for Sean as far as one team on the index. Just let them.
Penn State?
Yeah. No.
Penn State twice?
They're on the index, but they won't get the entirety of the conversation. Maybe I'll just step aside because you have insight on this program as far as how the fans feel, because you are in a group chat with some Texas fans. So you can tell me how miserable.
Voice of the people.
How miserable it is right now. We'll get to that. But, we'll also get to the Rockets. They debuted last night. We found out, at least right now, who their fifth starter is, of course. We know who their sixth starter is, too, it looks like, with Kevin Durant missing the game. He'll be back for their Wednesday game, so we'll get into the Rockets. But let's get into what happened last night. And I was going to do that anyway, but I was prompted by watching Drew Brees currently on ESPN. And one of the questions being asked is, what is different about Trevor Lawrence this year? Of course, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags get a big win. It was a back-and-forth game. They were down big early, 14-0. They fight back, win the game in the final seconds in a most improbable play where Trevor Lawrence gets stepped on coming out from under center. And the Chiefs have so little pass rush that he's able to fall down, like get up halfway, fall down again, and then get up and run it in. Of course, they're now highlighting Chris Jones and his lack of effort for not even trying to chase down Trevor Lawrence. Chris Jones just maybe assumed someone else would tackle him, and then when he got away again, say, yeah, you know what? I'm out of the play. So that's being called into question. But to the original question, how is Trevor Lawrence different? Man, what one throw does to change how a question can be posed? Because preceding the Brian Thomas throw down the sideline that got them into range to go in for the final score, he had kind of botched the 2 minute drill where he was tackled in bounds a couple times while scrambling, forced to call a timeout at a point when the Jags didn't want to. So at the time they called that timeout, they had run like 40 plus seconds or so off the clock and gained officially like 3 yards. I think it was a 3rd and 7, the Brian Thomas play. So he was not handling that situation well until he made a throw. He was under slight pressure. It was credit to Harrison for picking up a stunting or twisting defensive lineman to give him that extra time to make that throw. It was a great throw. I mean, you can call OPI a lot on those type of plays. Yeah, Brian Thomas gave a little push to throw off, I think, Watson, but he makes a catch, and eventually they go down there and win it after a pass interference call was made, and rightfully so. Connor made contact with, was it Deami Brown or something? It would have been a pick in the game, but there was contact there, led to the Jags eventually winning. So they win. They're 4-1. The Chiefs are 2-3, but in this division, the Jags are 4-1, and the Colts are 4-1, and the Texans are two games behind the Colts, and I guess you'd say 2.5 games behind the Jags. I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is that different. In fact, I was listening to a podcast going into the week, this week's games, and they were talking about being so frustrated by Trevor Lawrence and asking when is it going to happen? When is he going to potentially live up to the billing? I don't know that anything last night changed my mind. He made a great throw. We all know quarterbacks are capable of doing things like that in spurts. The problem with Trevor Lawrence and a lot of quarterbacks is judging the flashes as opposed to what you see from on a game-to-game basis. That's why the season is as long as it is, outside the NFL being hungry for money. You get to judge them on the entirety of a season. And what I saw from Trevor Lawrence, if you're a Jags fan, if you've held out hope, encouraging that fourth quarter. But then you have the previous 3 to 4 games where he looked like a very average quarterback. And you have the seasons previous where he didn't look so great. So for a night, credit to the Jags for finding a way to beat the Chiefs. I don't think it's a clear indication of what they'll be or what their quarterback will be. So nothing's changed for me with Trevor Lawrence. He's thrown 6 touchdowns and 5 picks so far this year. Sorry. One night against the Chiefs in Jacksonville, so I got to change my mind on that. He still does not concern me. The fact that the Jags are 2 games up, that's troublesome. That's not great. That was a game you go in thinking, okay, we don't like the Chiefs, we don't want to root for them, but this is a chance for the AFC South to condense a little bit more. Of course, the Colts are still up the top. At least you get to play them twice. In some ways, you control your own destiny to reel them back in if it came to that. Of course, you still get to play the Jags, but they at this point, even like in the very unlikely scenario that these two teams don't lose another game, and the only game they lose between each other is the one they play. And that so unlikely scenario, the Texans wouldn't control their fate. Of course, there's a lot of things that are going to happen, but it would have been nice for the Jags to have lost in a game. They were down 14-0. Patrick Mahomes throws a pick six to Lloyd, who I guess at this point is he the front runner for defensive player there. He's got like 3 picks on the year. A pick six, of course, it'll go to a pass rusher more than likely. But he has been very impactful. And I was conflicted because we've had this conversation about how do the Texans make the playoffs from where they start? Is it the wild card or is it winning the division? The division, because of the two teams ahead of you, you feel like, you know what? The Colts and the Jags, in your head, they're not that good. If it came down to it, you may take the Texans in a game, although they did already lose to the Jags. But when I look at the AFC, I don't know. I'm not sure that the Chiefs losing is all that bad. It condenses the AFC. And even if you want to say, oh, let's give the Jags and the Colts 2 playoff spots, everybody else is like 3-2. Or that's your game out. And at this point, Sean and I gave you the credit for poo-pooing my scenario last week where I said, well, you look at it, 1-3, you're not that far out. It's very early. You lost your first 3 games. You've won your last 2. Thankfully, the Ravens are the Ravens, so you got that win. Now you just look at the playoff picture and go, who's great? The Chargers are in the midst of a 2-game losing streak. They continue to get more injured. The Texans haven't had to really deal with the big one since we found out Joe Mixon won't be available. They haven't had to deal with the debilitating injury. And look, it's the NFL, so it's going to happen to someone. You just hope it doesn't happen to someone you can't live without. The Chargers, the Broncos, what else is out there?
Chargers, Broncos. I mean, Chiefs are also 2-3.
Yeah.
Indy, Jags.
And Patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
Bills. I just give the Bills the division, even though they lost.
And then the North, God.
It's the Steelers. And if you're looking for another wild card, who's winning the wild card in that division?
Bengals are 2-3. Ravens are 1-4.
And you have the tiebreaker.
Cleveland's 1-4.
Yeah. So as much as that start was ugly and all the numbers tell you that it's very unlikely, well, it's this year it's not as unlikely, it feels like, as other years, considering what else is out there. Yeah. And who can you really trust in the AFC right now?
I still just kind of think you need – I just – three AFC South playoff teams? That's my
– Yeah.
That's my
– No, understood.
You need the Jags and Colts to fall back to you more, just because I have a hard time seeing, like, all three of these teams making
it. And the Texans, as it stands right now, have the third toughest schedule the rest of the way. So
yeah,
it is going to get demonstrably tougher than it has been the last 2 weeks. So yeah. that is the caveat. If you have pushback, that's what it would be.
I mean, of the teams we mentioned, they play the Colts twice, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Chargers. And that's it for the Jags and Broncos.
Yeah.
And two good NFC West teams coming out of the bye.
Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, they really don't have, like, they have a Cardinals and Raiders.
Raiders game. And the Cardinals should be above 500.
Yeah, they're
if they didn't they'd lose screw a that
dumb
game
way.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost in a very dumb way.
Yeah, so they are a team, of course, that shouldn't just be thrown aside and put in the win column. At this point, it's the Raiders. And who else did you say? As a team, as a schedule to look at,
Titans.
That's a win. The Raiders and Titans are the ones you look at. Okay, that's the win.
They have two wins. You should be able to put in your back pocket right now.
And, of course, we all watched the Titans-Texans game where it should have been 6-6 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Joyce Sly can make field goals. Great. So even while we're giving them that because of what they did in the fourth quarter,
it's at Tennessee,
that game was competitive for 3+ quarters.
Yeah, at Nissan Stadium.
No one gets out of there alive, Sean.
No.
Only Titans get out of there alive.
Sean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, Sean knows that reference. We'll talk. That's part of the misery index. If you don't know,
South Florida Bulls got out there alive.
This is a point, yes. If you don't know, the Gators, the Florida Gators, in the swamp, there is something that's, and it's one of their slogans, only Gators get out of the swamp alive. And we were making that joke during the week because they're not good. And you would expect it, even with the small line, as Texas being a small favorite, we expected Texas to get out of there alive. Turns out, not so much. The death roll happened, and the Longhorns got a limb ripped off.
Yeah,
in the middle of
once Tyreek Sapp gets a hold of you.
Tyreek Sapp
starts twisting.
Is it worse that he's out there with his football pants rolled up to mid thigh? He's one of the guys who, because the rules have been so lax on uniforms,
yeah,
what Deion has pushed back against, of all people, Deion doesn't like how lax uniform code is right now. Tyreek Sapp, the Gator defensive lineman, if you watched him on Saturday.
He's wearing, like, bike shorts.
He has rolled up his football pants to the point, like, they're bike shorts. And the funniest part for me is he's still wearing, like, thigh pads. Like, all right, buddy, your pads are not even at your thigh.
I was going to say, the thigh pads, like, would be hanging out of your pants if you put them in the right spot. My high school coach would have none of that.
It's a thing over the last 3 years where guys kept trying, and they've just at this point said, oh, they're not going to stop us at all. The above-the-knee thing meant you were actually an athlete if you had the above-the-knee setup. Now it's like above mid-thigh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about, but a couple players across
the country. What happened to the game I love?
Every week you'll see it. O.J. Frederick, the Miami corner, does it, but at least he doesn't wear, like, pads. He's like, I'm a DB. I don't need to wear thigh pads when I do this.
That's still
it's aggressive, though.
It's a lot.
But that's who Texas lost to, a guy who doesn't follow uniform code.
Yeah. You know what? Let me file that as protest. Maybe we can overturn the
I feel like that's not likely, but you can try. So we'll get into that at some point. As I said, we'll talk Rockets. We will play some sound from the Alabama game, at least post-Alabama game. It's just evidence that you need both types. You need a guy who will, when he scores a touchdown, take a knee and cross himself. And you also need a guy who will call the opposing quarterback the B word. So you need all those guys to go win. And Alabama has them. So we'll talk about that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Rockets preseason game 1 to talk about. mostly because of who got into the starting lineup. And also, a report from Shams, that tells you that if you thought Giannis was a real possibility, at least for your favorite team, he was only a real possibility, at least this summer, for one team. So we'll get into that as we go along. Also, numbers on possible arbitration for the Astros, because as much as this season was painful, they still have to make decisions, and there will be negotiations about who's returning and how much their value is. So we'll talk about that. Just a little Astros talk as the playoffs are going on, and of course the Dodgers are up 2-0. I mean, I don't like the Dodgers, but I'm glad it's happening to Philly. If they have to beat anyone in their first playoff series, at least it's the Phillies. Who needs happiness for that city? Because we know, dirty ass, trash ass city. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean's got a 713 Rockets hat on. Let's also, we'll get to you here. It was Rockets Hawks last night, and the Rockets won, but hardly that important. It was our first look at the team. Now, they probably look pretty similar considering Kevin Durant didn't play. He'll play tomorrow. So Tari was filling in for Kevin Durant, and at least for one game, the fifth starter, the one guy that hasn't been the spot that hadn't been solidified yet because Fred's hurt, Reed Shepard was in there. In limited minutes, turned the ball over three times, played 19 minutes, didn't shoot the ball well. Turned the ball over three times, and Amen second in turnovers from that starting unit in four. So a couple of your lead ball handlers were a little sloppy with the basketball. That's just the takeaway. No more than that. Like, Alpi looks good out there, of course, coming off a big summer playing Eurobasket. And also probably expect him to be a bigger hub than if Fred was available. So I'm sure they'll play through Alpi quite a bit. We'll need Amen and Reed to clean up the turnovers, because that's seven for those guys, and neither one got to 30 minutes, of course, because it's preseason. So that needs to be fixed. But let's get to LaSalsa. He wants to talk some Rockets. What's up?
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? What's going on, Deli Belly?
It's not my name.
Hey, Mapers. Hey, I want to wish the Rockets a good season, but hey, Dale, got that question for you. What is the over and under on Alicia Cuthbert being on OnlyFans? Just want
to know. Oh, we've returned wow. to the old standby. We haven't had that in a while.
This is an early Dell show.
From Ryan / the Salsa. So he did an impression of Lazy J. Got that question for you as a Lazy J thing, and in that tone, acknowledging us and giving us, well, giving you a nickname specifically is a Willie P thing. So he got a lot of it in. As far as Alicia Cuthbert, if it hadn't happened before, it's probably not going to happen now. I don't know. I don't know what she's up to, which is maybe the reason you asked. Plus, you grew up in an era where she was on covers like FHM and Maxim. But I don't know about that one. I'm going to go 0.0002%. She is, not that age matters, but she's married to a former hockey player. So the OF likely isn't necessary. Dion Phaneuf, former Calgary Flame.
Oh, wow.
And she was born in Calgary, so she married a guy who played for her hometown team. Yeah.
People forget that guy's name was a problem.
Yeah, Dion Phaneuf.
Dion Phaneuf was a problem.
And she's got three upcoming projects. So she is still active. She hadn't worked since 2022, but she's back at it. I know she's had some kids, so maybe she chose raising her children over being a Hollywood actress for a little bit. But she's back, so sorry. You're going to have to deal with that one movie where she lived across the street from some teenager and she happened to be a porn star. I forgot what the name of that movie was. It was The Girl Next Door. There it is. So you're going to have to deal with that, where she wasn't naked there either. But sorry, Ryan. unlikely, because the woman's got parts to play in actual movies. All right. He wished the Rockets a good season.
That was the sport.
That was the one sports angle.
I wish them a great season.
Yeah, I do too. I wish them a great season. I wish them good health and many wins this year. And of course, maybe I should have done it a month ago, and Fred wouldn't have got hurt.
Yeah.
I'm a little late
it's
on
all right.
that.
It's all
That's
right.
on. I'm There's, sorry. I apologize for that. But now that
12
I'm,
other players.
Now that I'm saying it today. I imagine no one will get hurt the rest
of
the way.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Tari will get the minutes he wants. He'll play 70-plus games, mm-hmm. and he will get an expanded role.
But somehow that won't come at the expense of all anyone the other else.
Yeah. We didn't get to it, but he dropped something in that sound we played yesterday when he was talking about the minutes he wants. Of course, it's a double down on what he said at Media Day. He said, perhaps, and this is me paraphrasing, a play run for me per half. I heard it today because we played it for John and Lance. That was funny.
He might have even dropped an actually run a play for
me. Yeah, like, that's probably – yeah, I think that's what actually maybe run a play for me once a half. I'm not asking for much.
Actually run a play.
Yeah, so there is something there, and we talked about it, and maybe it's not a big something, but there's something rolling around with him saying, I misuse, and maybe use me a little differently.
Hey, Ime Udoka once compared – Tari Eason to Kawhi Leonard.
Well, treat me like Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. All right, then. If you think I'm like Kawhi, and at one point he was thought to be their favorite young player, Tari Eason, then give me that Kawhi role.
Ime's like, we didn't run plays for Kawhi either until 2014.
Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah.
We weren't really running plays for him and going into that finals. Then he realized, oh, best player on the floor. Okay. Maybe we should let him
cook. Out-athlete these guys.
Yeah. Maybe don't lean on Duncan and Parker and Ginobili at this point. So we will see if Tari gets his wish and maybe a play per half is run for him. That's all I'm asking for.
Actually run a play for me.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm out here. Run a play. Okay. With no Fred and no Jalen, there'll be those opportunities. All right. We'll go to break. If you want to wish the Rockets a good season, call in 713-780-3776. Or whoever you want to wish something good for.
Yeah.
I wish that.
Alicia Cuthbert, right? Cuthbert?
Alicia Cuthbert.
I wish her a happy and successful life.
She's been pretty successful so far.
More success.
Hopefully.
Continued success.
Yeah, I hope for continued success as she enters back into acting. Mm-hmm. She's got Every Year After, which is a TV show that's currently filming. It's based off a book. She's got that going on. What else does she have for
Avengers Doomsday? Just kidding.
Not that. She's playing. What would she play as a blonde woman in her 40s? I don't know. I don't know.
Blind Spot.
She's got Friday Afternoon in the Universe.
I thought you were going to say Friday After Next. Friday
Ice Cube has had his eye on her, just waiting for her to come back to acting. So she's got a couple things coming up. And a third movie, a TV movie, where she's the star of this one. So don't worry about her, La Salsa. She'll be just fine. You'll have to break out that FHM that you carried with you for the last 20 years or so. All right, we'll go to break with that. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. Simply put, you want a great car? Go to Monument Chevrolet. It's pretty simple. They've been in business for over 50 years. So that means not only are you getting a great vehicle, you're getting experienced people who have been around the car selling industry for a long time. And they've been selling great cars to great people for just as long. So no matter what you want, whether it's a Blazer, a Trax, maybe you're looking for a Silverado because you're really into a truck, they've got those for you. They've got a wide inventory, wide selection of vehicles. Just check them out at monumentchevrolet.com and see what Chevy you want. And maybe you're just looking for a great vehicle and it doesn't have to be a Chevy. They have a great pre-owned inventory as well. So from new cars like the Equinox or the Trailblazer to their wide selection of pre-owned inventory, it's all there for you at the website. Find the price you want, find the car you want, and then head to Pasadena. They're off of Bellway 8 and 225, and it's a large campus. So I'm just saying the words about how many cars they have. Once you get there, you're going to see all the cars, whether it be new, pre-owned, or something for your business, because they have a wide selection of fleet vehicles as well. So the website, once again, is monumentchevrolet.com. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. Get the car you want. Meet great people. Let them put you in the best car for you. MindMeetChevrolet.com. And as always, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So Sean informed me that while the Texans haven't given us much on Joe Mixon, they've given us something very small. So Joe Mixon, who we've kind of just pushed aside as, if he comes back, cool, but it feels like that's a situation where if you don't expect much, you can't be disappointed. He has been a mystery. We saw him play and walk off the field against the Chiefs. We have not seen him since. He's rarely around the team, if at all. I mean, we don't even see him on the sidelines. He wasn't at training camp for much of any public viewing. So, Joe Mixon, that is a bit of a mystery, and this is the latest from Nick Caserio. Joe Mixon is making progress, but it will be a few more weeks before the Texans have a clear idea on Mixon's availability for the season. So, he's making progress. It's very opaque, doesn't say anything other than he's not regressing, I guess. Yeah.
But considering that this is a team who was terrible on offense for the first 3 weeks and three quarters of week four and was missing their starting running back for all of it, very little update. So just hearing like Nick Caserio talk about Joe Mixon and not have D'Amico Ryans be like, do you even care? Do you really care, though? How much do you care? Are you crying right now because of how much you care?
You can see, Coach, I am not crying.
Yeah. This is at least like, okay, there's like a, they're at least like putting a timetable on like when this guy can possibly come back.
A few weeks. What does a few mean, Sean? That's always a question.
Three-ish?
To you. What does it mean to Nick Caserio? That's really the question. What does a few weeks mean?
Kind of what we colloquially agreed on. Two is a couple. Three is a few.
Well, maybe here and where you grew up, but he's not from
where
here.
Where the football team is.
But he may have a different way of thinking about what few weeks mean.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what Bill Belichick, I don't know what in New England, what Bill Belichick's a few was.
So maybe a few.
There's just a few years difference between him and his girlfriend.
Just depends on how you feel about the word few. So it's a few weeks until we have more of a clear idea. So it's not a few weeks from coming back.
No.
Potentially coming back.
No, it's a few weeks from...
I think we're a few weeks away from them telling us...
He's out for the season.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're a few weeks away from.
I think he's... Yes, he is saying, don't ask me this for another few weeks.
Yeah.
Just don't ask.
Yeah, I've got a pretty clear idea, but I don't want to get into it right now.
No need.
Come back to me in a few weeks.
Although, I don't know. I feel like this is arguably worse. Like, if you know he's out for the season... He's out for the season, guys.
But this is about, it's probably, if we go by how D'Amico treats it, this is about Joe and how he wants this to be handled, Joe Mixon.
So, he wants it lingering over the team and people to continue saying that he needs to get out there.
See, at this point,
I think
the players know. I think the coaches know. I don't think it's lingering at all. In fact, now that football games are actually being played, we barely care about it.
Well, because we know he's going to be out for the season.
But that's what I'm saying. They could play this game and it doesn't matter because. Now they have a bye week this week, but there's another game to pay attention to. Football as a whole, we're going to pay attention to. So the injury status of Joe Mixon was really only a topic of conversation before the year. Now that we've played, five games and he's not available, it's kind of back of mind. So they can play this game.
Yes, just say he's out for the year. Just say it.
Nah,
this is actually worse because now Cody Stutes is going to have to wait another 3 weeks to ask you again. If you just told him he's out for the year, he would stop asking.
And you know what Nick Caserio cares about? How Cody Stutes is doing his job.
But if you're going to do the like...
No, but you know this is not how this works.
I don't know what you're protecting him from. We're protecting the player. From what?
They're not protecting anyone.
Nothing.
They're not. It's just how they handle things. And
You're being opaque just for the sake of being opaque.
Yes.
Like there's no benefit.
That's how things work. They'd rather give you no information than any information, that's what it is.
We should start a hashtag being like, Joe Mixon's a bitch for not playing.
You can do that. I'm not, because I don't know his...
Remember when you punched that girl at Oklahoma?
Wow. Wow. I do remember. It's not.
We wouldn't be talking about this if they told us he was out for the season.
So you're blaming them for digging up old stuff. For you digging up old stuff. Okay.
We wouldn't talk about him on the show if he was out for
the season. Well, if they told us today he was out for the season, we would talk about it. Then we would move on. We probably wouldn't have gotten to what you just threw out there if they had done it that way. So sorry. Maybe you're right. But they can't do things just because you are on one. That's not how they operate.
No, this is just this is militant. Give me an update, or else I'll. This is me shooting a hostage in a negotiation.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
every day I'll mention something from Joe Mixon's past.
Yeah, I don't care
until you tell me he's out for the season.
I don't care as much about this as you do, and really all you care about is the Texans and how they operate.
It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid.
It's just who they are. I mean, I will get into how process over results mean something if they were coming off a loss. Like, how you do things, I think, affects kind of how you do everything. But they won a game, so whatever. I'll leave that alone.
They're almost 500, so they can do what they want.
No, I'll just leave this particular thing alone because it doesn't matter as much if they were one. It would matter more if they were 1-4 than it is if they're 2-3 because it is silly, but it is what it is. So Joe Mixon, the update on him is they don't have one. They'll give you one maybe in 3 weeks. And then when that question is asked again, they'll probably put it off again. So be it. Okay. Something that didn't affect the Rockets, but we thought it could, was the availability of Giannis Antetokounmpo. It turns out he was only available to one team this offseason, and it was the New York Knicks. This is the reporting from Shams Charania that if he was going to leave Milwaukee, he was going to play for the Knicks. That's where he wanted to go. I don't know exactly all the reasons why. It was just the one team on the list. He didn't have a list. He had a destination. So all of our conversations about what you would give up if you were in on Giannis as opposed to what you would have to give up for Kevin Durant, it's good to talk, good speculation. But when it came down to it, he was never interested in any place but the New York Knicks. So, and that's what the NBA is now. As much as we have the conversations about, well, we've got the better offer, we've got the more assets, if the player puts his finger on the scale and says, I don't want to play there, then you're out. This is what happened with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant put his finger on the scale and said, I don't want to be in Minnesota. Minnesota allegedly was offering Rudy Gobert, who, despite the jokes being made about him, was the best guy being offered in any of the trade packages that the teams that were at the top of Kevin Durant's list could have offered or wanted to offer. If you look at what the Rockets did, they gave up Jalen Green, a promising young player, in the 10th overall pick. Then the Suns got the draft pick back, and of course, Dylan Brooks. It was much talked about that the Heat weren't willing to empty their entire stash because they weren't going to have enough left over to build around Kevin Durant. If you're trading for Kevin Durant, you're trying to win a title. The Heat didn't think they would be in position. The Wolves, with Anthony Edwards obviously still remaining and the rest of the roster, were just, hey, you want Rudy Gobert? We'll give him up. And Kevin Durant said, you can do it, but I'm not signing an extension, and I don't want to be there. Apparently Giannis, less publicly, wanted that as well. So the Knicks were the team. The Knicks didn't really approach it seriously. That's why I didn't get very far. Maybe they were, maybe they thought, or maybe they felt that the Bucks weren't going to deal in what they considered a fair way, because the Bucks, and rightfully so, would have asked for everything. Yeah. They probably would have said, hey, yeah, Jalen Brunson, please, because the Knicks picks weren't going to be worth anything. They're going to be good picks, bad picks, excuse me, because the Knicks would be good.
Yeah, they want players.
Yeah, so they wanted players, and I'm sure they would have asked for the world, and that's what you do when Giannis is on the table. And the Knicks weren't going to do it, because, look, Jalen Brunson is the franchise right now. And yes, Giannis would have taken that over, but sometimes you don't trade unless you're the Mavs. You don't trade faces of the franchise. It's just not the way you operate, and that's what Jalen Brunson has ascended to. So probably would have been something like, hey, you want Kat? And maybe we'll throw in a Josh Hart. What do you think about Tyler Kolek? He played in the area, right?
Click.
He played at Marquette. So they weren't going to get the Knicks' best player, and that was probably a no-go for the Bucks to start. So
Especially because, like, Giannis never actually pressed the I want to get traded button.
He didn't make it public, which certainly puts more pressure on you to get a deal done.
If you're an NBA team, like, unless you just want to trade the guy, shout out to Nico Harrison, but unless you want to trade him, like, until he actually demands a trade, just whatever. Like, I'm not talking about it. If it's some top 10 guy in the league, like, could the Suns start a rebuild by trading Devin Booker? Yeah, probably, but until he asks for a trade, what's the point of doing it? Like, it's actually more beneficial just to have this guy on my team. So
the Bucks were open to having the conversations with Giannis, and as Shams is reporting, the only team that emerged that Giannis wanted to go to was the Knicks. Now, of course, when you're the superstar and there's no lock that you're going to go anywhere, you don't make it known. You don't actually say, I want to trade, because if you don't get traded, you're stuck, and it gets awkward very quickly. So he never made the demand, but he wanted them to have the conversation with the Knicks, but it never gained traction.
He did the private version of what Russell Wilson did like a year or two before he actually got traded, where he was like, I am not asking for a trade, but if I were to be traded, here are four teams I want to go to. That's kind of what Giannis did in the meeting with the Bucks. Was, I am not asking for a trade. However, if you could send me to New York, that'd be cool. But I'm not asking for a trade. And I only want the Knicks.
Yeah.
But still, don't. I'm not asking for a trade.
So
I want to be a Buck for life. But if I weren't, Knicks,
but as far
please.
As what Giannis wanted or didn't want, the two teams who had the opportunity to give him what he wanted didn't get far enough to even have real discussions, because the Bucks didn't think the Knicks were really willing to offer what it would take, and the Knicks didn't think the Bucks were going to really negotiate in a way that they would deem fair. So they all entered into these conversations not believing the other was willing to make a deal.
And I think that both sides would be more willing to make a deal if Giannis was like, Sham Sharania, I want you to know something. I would like to be traded. I feel like both the Knicks, like the Knicks would actually negotiate. The Bucks would actually feel pressure to at least negotiate, answer some calls, some other teams involved. Of like, we were the guys who the original of we might Dame Lillard you. Because we were the team that kamikazed in to trade for Dame Lillard. We could do that to Giannis, too.
Well, I think without the very public trade demand, the Knicks didn't believe they were going to have enough leverage to get a deal that they liked that didn't crush them completely. Because with very public trade demand, now the Bucks are on a ticking clock. Because generally, unless your name is Damian Lillard, you get what you want in a trade, much like Kevin Durant did. So without that being very public, the Knicks weren't in a position that they wanted to be to make a move. So that's why Giannis will open the season with the Bucks, and we'll see. Look, he'll have 1 year left on his deal after this upcoming season. And then if the Bucks, who don't have any avenues to actually improve their team in a very meaningful way, when he comes to them again after what likely will be a disappointing season for him, then there'll be more urgency, and we'll see what they do. Because I don't think anything is going to be done this season to get him to sign an extension.
No,
the Bucks aren't in a spot to do that.
I mean, Miles Turner, Kyle Kuzma.
I mean, these stinks, and they may be a top six seed or whatever, but that's not what Giannis is looking for. He wants to contend for a title. So we'll probably be doing some version of this next summer. The question will be is, who will the list expand, or will he be strictly Knicks and Knicks alone? We'll see about that. But that's where the Giannis Antetokounmpo chase stands. There wasn't even really a chase. All right, we'll go to break with that. And then we will certainly get to one more thing before we close out hour one, and then we'll get to the misery index, because there was a big college football weekend. A lot of teams with numbers next to their name lost. Some of them no longer have those numbers, and misery is afoot for some of the best programs, at least name-wise, in the country. We'll get to that in hour two, but one more segment before that. We'll be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What's up, guys? Sean Mapes here. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash on your Texans this football season. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your takes into cash all season long on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, and touchdowns? Now you can have all of them in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. You can now also follow other Prize Picks players directly on the app and copy their lineups in one click. Whether it's a friend, a celebrity, or just someone whose picks you like, hit the follow button and check out every lineup they create in the brand new feed tab on Prize Picks. You can even follow me. Join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Just download the Prize Picks app today and use promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
One of our great American institutions is suffering from what a lot of them suffer from. When you're in business for a long time, you can't always stay at the top. Buc-ee's is dipping in their customer satisfaction rankings. They were third last year, I believe. Now they're fifth. They are trending downward. Look, whoa. I've been into a Buc-ee's in the last month. I don't see any difference in the service. I don't see any difference in the product. That hot and spicy beef jerky still hits like it always does.
Yes. To me, it feels like, and maybe this is just because it was recently the summer, and I was going there during the summer, during what I imagine is more peak hours because it's more peak road trip season. Felt like it was much more crowded this summer than it has been in summers past.
And you think that might affect their performance overall? Just more people.
I also think
to
like
review them.
Yeah, if you then ask me, were you satisfied with the trip? There might be some points off just because I'm like, man,
I had to wait.
Yeah, add a couple more gas pumps, please.
Yeah,
the 250 you have aren't enough.
The one on the way to Galveston, the one near the Tanger's outlet, is it's a super Buc-ee's, I guess I would say. I forgot the number of of pumps they say. It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a lot.
No, the one in between Houston, San Antonio, and Luling, that's another one where you're just like, oh, my God. But it's always crowded.
So
add a couple more, just for me.
Buc-ee's comes in behind Quick Trip and Wawa, more of an East Coast I guess gas station / restaurant. I don't even know what a Wawa is. I know it's big in Pennsylvania and Philly. So I think it's a convenience store. Attached to a gas station, stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't notice the difference. I will not allow for this slanderous review to change my opinion of Buc-ee's.
I agree. Like I would say overall, I was still very satisfied with the. You know, with the controllables. At Buc-ee's, you can only control what you can control.
Of course.
And so, yeah. Oh, it's too popular. Okay. Whoops. Sorry, we did something wrong. You know what? I think this can be good for a franchise that's been on the top for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That just a little, hey, you know, bulletin board material. Don't have the rat poison. Don't have the beaver poison, definitely.
I just know Wawa better stay out of Texas is all I'm saying.
I think
the territory.
If there's ever a whoever the CEO of Buc-ee's is, which is kind of crazy that we don't know who this guy is and he's not like a college football booster or something, that guy needs to give a Kirby Smart versus TCU style halftime speech. The first time that there's even an inkling that Wawa is coming to Texas, just be like, we got to beat the bleepity bleep out of these guys and make them bleep bleep.
Because Wawa is expanding into southern states like North Carolina, Tennessee. Keep moving west and see.
Yeah.
We got to treat this like wrestling back in the day for Vince
territories?
McMahon.
Territories?
Yeah, territories. Keep trying us, Wawa. The CEO of Buc-ee's, His name is Arch Applin III.
Arch?
Arch, well, yeah.
What kind of name is that?
Well, we'll talk about that in the next hour. This guy wears a cowboy hat with the blazer.
He was born with the cowboy hat and blazer.
Yeah. So he's a – I don't know. He's from Texas. I don't know what school he went to because I'm sure that will determine how people think of him. But Arch Applin III is the co-founder and CEO of Buc-ee's. And why – you're right. Why isn't he a booster for something?
Oh, I have the – he's in the Texas Business Hall of Fame.
I didn't know they had one. Credit
course,
to him.
Of course they do.
Of course.
Bachelor of Construction Science at Texas A&M in 1980.
Mm. Well, they don't really need his money. They've got plenty. I'm sure he's involved. And if not, what are you waiting on, buddy? You got a top five team. We'll go to break with that, and we'll talk about some teams who are not in the top five when we come back. It's time for the Misery Index. Some teams were joyous. Some teams were just relieved to get out of a game with the win. Other teams are flat out miserable, and we'll talk about those teams when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I know who runs Aqueduct. I didn't have to do any research. That's Billy Brown. And while he may not walk around with the cowboy hat on at the time, he's still going to provide that same great service as that company we just talked about. So if you need if you have an issue with your plumbing, you go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company and check out what they have to offer. I always talk about the service, the drop-down service menu, because it's easy. It just tells you what you need. You may not know that Aqueduct Plumbing Company does some of the things they do, so they have something right there for you, so you can find out what fits what you're looking for. Maybe you need some drain cleaning done. Maybe you need gas piping done. New construction, a remodel, it's all there for you. It could be something where you don't want to deal with the water heater or a tankless one. You want them to come out and take a look or replace it. They'll do that for you. That's what they're all about. Get yourself that free price quote, because there's a lot of bad things in the world. One of the worst when it comes to fixing things in your home or with your car is getting charged for an estimate. You don't want to get charged when they're just trying to figure out what's going on. They'll give you that free price quote and tell you what something's going to cost. And then you'll get the great people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company to fix it for you. So go to the website. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. And deal with the great people at Aqueduct Plumbing.